direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Grateful that you've tuned in today for this Thursday session of Abounding Grace. And today we're concluding our study of the ministry of John the Baptist. And oh, this has been a very exciting study to open up and especially to apply to our day in the cult of personality and the worship of men. We have seen Christ decrease in people's hearts and men increase as the Hollywood mentality has filled us with regard to the ministry. Well, John the Baptist provides a great correction to that. Studying his life, the key to this whole section has been what he says in the middle of John chapter 3 in verse, you'll notice there in verse 29, where he says, "He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease." There it is. John says, they're hearing the bridegroom. They're hearing Jesus. That's what this is about. I must decrease, he must increase. His disciples had come, and they were really jealous that the ministry, their ministry, was losing emphasis and losing persuasion, that people were leaving him and going out to Jesus. John says something I want to pick up again with today that we left off with yesterday. In verse 31, that is a great perspective for us. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. Now that's a warning. You guys are coming to me jealous. The people who were once coming to me are now coming to Christ. But don't you know who this is? It's the Son of God. And you're following me? We are earthly preachers. We're weak. We're sinful. We fight against sins. We have fears. We have doubts. We're far from purity and perfection. But this one we preach is from heaven. He's pure. His message is perfect. We're speaking what he wants us to say about him. And you accept everything you hear based on his voice. His sheep hear his voice, and he gives them eternal life. So John says, this is the way it's all validated. This is how you know, my friends, what you're hearing is true. This is where it all comes this week. What is the testimony? It's all in the testimony. Jesus is the Son of God. He is true God and true man. He has come to deliver sinners from their sins. John says, the sad reality is that many won't receive that testimony. Many refuse to hear about being under the condemnation and having dead hearts and being without life, i.e. Nicodemus, and they will not turn to the Son of God that they may live. But John says, my ministry is given to have people believe in him. Why? Because he who does believe certifies that God is true. I love that. Verse 33 is an amazing statement. What it means is this. Those who accept everything that is said about Jesus Christ, those who believe in Jesus Christ, that he was in the beginning with God, that he was God, that he always was, and that he descended from heaven to be raised up on the cross, that our situation in our hearts is so desperate that unless we believe in him, we will perish eternally. Whoever accepts that testimony about Jesus has set his own seal of approval on God's own testimony regarding his Son. So belief in Jesus testifies to all that we believe God is true in what he has declared about Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Son of the living God, eternal and truly God. You know, that's what John says in 1 John. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he's not believed in the testimony which God has given concerning his Son. So here's the point. John is saying this is the reason pastors and prophets exist. Prophets of the old covenant and pastors who have come in the new to proclaim the gospel. That's why they exist, so that we might incite you, listener, to faith in Jesus Christ, to believe that testimony regarding him. And whether we have great results, or whether crowds flock to another faithful church down the street, doesn't really matter. Doesn't mean God's done with the one having, quote, little results according to our standards, or that we should ever be envious of someone else's fruit in a faithful ministry. The results are his. We keep on doing all in our power, not to preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the mission and mandate of the church today. Now, I say that because that's hard for us in our day with so much pressure put upon us. We're concerned. We want to keep our young people, and we want to be relevant, and we want to be hip. I mean, that's just what that article I raised at the beginning of the week in the Wall Street Journal was so concerned to expose. Everyone's so concerned with being cool and hip in Christianity. And he says, that's not what we need. And he's right. We're drenched with enough of that stuff in our culture. We need Jesus Christ and him crucified. But that's our struggle. That's where we have to have faith. Because we think, how is that same old testimony of Jesus going to keep our youth? How is that same old testimony going to make us a relevant church when you've got everybody doing anything and everything? Hey, the guys down the street have the giant buildings, the cool technology, the nice coffee bars, the hip pastors, the fun, relevant messages, the jumpy things for the kids, the great programs. How can you contend with all that? That's the pressure, isn't it? And then I'm reminded of what Paul chided the Corinthians for. What are you guys doing? I didn't use gimmicks to get you interested in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2. I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching, listen, were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You need to remember, says Paul, what we're doing in the ministry is foolishness to the world. But since it's God's chosen power, there will be results. The results are his. We be faithful in what he's called us to do. That's what Paul said in Philippians 1. You know, some preach Christ even out of envy and strife, some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. The goal is that sinners would believe him, not us. Now, let me make a confession here on the program today. As much as I bash and pulpit pound and act oh so sanctimonious, you know, against the super pastors of our day. Paul called them super pastors in his day. I call them super pastors in our day. I have to admit, deep down, I'm a lot more like them than I would care to admit. Pride does get in the way. I want to be liked. You know, I want everyone to love me. Deep down, it would just be a lot easier to keep everyone happy and not rustle any feathers. And I'm really not all that humble like John the Baptist. I pray that I would be more, but I'm not. But you know, as I lament that struggle even within my own heart, I then ponder just what is being said here in John chapter 3. Just what's said at the close of John chapter 3. And I think to myself, how dare I play Russian roulette with your souls and the souls of your children, right? As a pastor. He summarized everything he says, he has said here in John 3, in one distinct, powerful way. This should be the bumper sticker verse, by the way. Not John 3:16, as wonderful as it is. This should be the bumper sticker verse. Let me quote the first part, then I'll tell you which one. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. That's John 3:35. And here's your bumper sticker verse, John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Does that not capture and summarize everything we've considered in John 3 for the past weeks? The most life-transforming chapter. Our whole mission is faithfully to testify and advance the testimony of Jesus Christ for one single great purpose and goal. That all the hearers would believe in the Son of God with regenerated hearts. And faith created by the powerful Holy Spirit so that you would be given everlasting life. I say this with the most sincere, honest heart I've ever expressed. I want that for every single listener in the ministry and ever who hears the words that come out of this voice's mouth. Whatever's given. That's why we have to decrease. So that Christ would increase in your hearts. Because the alternative is a nightmare. The alternative is a nightmare. Think of what the end of John 3 says. He who does not believe, we've looked at that in great detail in John 3. He who does not believe shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. In other words, those who believe now, which we labor for right now, today, forever, are given the blessed hope of being forever with the one they've confessed in heaven. They're going to go and they're going to be with him in the place of bliss and glory to worship and adore him forever and ever and learn about him forever and ever and be in his service. That's going to be wonderful. But those who do not, right now, you're given no peace or joy or delight in this life. You're filled with misery. And John says, the hottest wrath of God presently hangs over the unbeliever's head, so that in the end, you will perish eternally in unbelief. That's the most sobering words I've ever read. John was about to die. He's about to be beheaded. And everything he did was for the purpose of exalting Jesus Christ, increasing Christ, that those who heard would believe in him and be saved. So would you really want anyone to be entertained and toyed with gimmicks to the risk of their own soul? My friends, pray fervently that God would be merciful to you and to your children for 1,000 generations, that faithful servants of the Lord would be raised up who would care about one thing, to decrease themselves and to increase Jesus Christ. For it's then our joy is fulfilled. When you hear his voice and receive his testimony to the saving of your souls, we've run the race well. May we all, as ministers and as God's people, decrease, that Christ would increase in our hearts and to the ends of the earth. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. Worship service times on Sundays are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. The website is lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you, a blog and sermons and even these radio broadcasts to download. Give us a call, 360-318-0429. We'd love to hear from you. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.